Classic Business, Monday to Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. on FMR.
Welcome back, everybody, and we're now at our usual Wednesday slot, another brick in the wall. And today we have, as usual, Alistair Anderson, editor of Property Flash, and the guest this evening is Savannah Solomons, attorney and director of Solomons Attorneys. Welcome to you both.
Hi, nice to chat.
Hi, Dawn. Thank you. It's a privilege to be speaking to you both.
Nice to meet both of you. Now, Savannah, you have investigated or involved with a really interesting topic that I think is going to interest a lot of our listeners, especially if they've got investment properties. And that is the prospect of buying a property or wanting to buy a property that has an informal settlement on it or illegal occupiers, as it were. There must be some unique challenges in that position.
Yes, there definitely are. I imagine for the purchaser, the issues involved would be, time that it might take to ensure a return on their investment, and also costs involved with ensuring that the illegal settlement or unlawful occupiers can be evicted from the property.
And obviously, you know, South Africa has laws around eviction of occupiers, and especially if it's like a sort of commercial property, a large property, and there are a lot of illegal occupiers, that can be a real challenge. What process do they have to take? Obviously, they have to go through the courts of law, hey?
Yeah, so the act that applies to dealing with evictions in South Africa is the Prevention of Illegal Eviction from and Unlawful Occupation of Land Act, or the PI Act for short. And in terms of this act, the individual or company that would bear the responsibility of dealing with the eviction process would be the company or individual who actually lawfully owns the property or the land, whatever the case may be. And the process for dealing with an eviction is initially a notice of intention to apply to court to evict the unlawful occupiers must be sent to the unlawful occupiers. Then an application for eviction is issued in court. And after this application is issued, it is served on the unlawful occupiers. And what's important to note in this process is that once this is done, and whether or not a date is obtained or not, a further application must be made to court 14 days before the eviction application is heard for the court to actually grant a further notice to be served on those unlawful occupiers with the intention of ensuring that they are actually aware of these court proceedings.
Just to ask you, I mean, how sort of successful is this court process historically in South Africa? Because it seems like this is quite a common thing that people want to invest in this country, but you know, we have challenges, and I think there are many examples where people have tried to buy properties maybe on auction or not, and there happen to be people living, you know, on the property. Yes. It just sounds like it's a headache.
So it is a difficult process, but if it is followed correctly, then it is successful. However, there's multiple issues that arise when dealing with an eviction application. So the first issue, as I have now mentioned, is ensuring that the unlawful occupiers actually receive notice of the eviction is incredibly important. If that does not happen, then the eviction order will not be granted. But after that, then the unlawful occupiers also have a chance to defend themselves. And in cases where there are children or elderly people on the property, a judge will take these people into higher consideration when passing down a ruling for eviction. And ultimately, when it comes down to the granting of an eviction order, especially in situations, as I mentioned, where there's elderly people or children and where there's multiple people on a premises, then the court order essentially would incorporate the individuals and the unlawful occupiers' best interests to ensure that they could be rehomed and uphold their rights to housing in South Africa. So these orders ultimately could result in orders being granted that indicate that municipalities must rehouse the individuals and go through a consultation process with the unlawful occupiers to ensure that they agree to resettle and that the municipality finds them alternate housing. If they do not agree to do this, then further court dates are set, and then the judge will consider the circumstances presented by the unlawful occupiers, and it can be a very long process.
Who has the onus of actually identifying those illegal occupiers? Does the person who is selling the property have to disclose that there are illegal occupiers on the land, or is it buyer beware?
Yes, the person selling the property should disclose that there are unlawful occupiers on the land. And that's the same for any agent or auction company. However, once the property is transferred, regardless of this disclosure, it is still the onus of the individual who now has ownership and rights with regards to that property to deal with the eviction application and any damages claims against the auctioneers or agents or sellers would be dealt with separately to the eviction process.
That's very interesting. Now, obviously, in this country specifically, there must be the added challenge of actually having people who are undocumented, in fact, occupying that property. Does this add a whole new dimension in terms of the legal route that this must go?
It doesn't change the legal route by any means. Undocumented individuals are still afforded protection of the constitutional right to housing in the country. They must still be served with notice, and they are then afforded the right to respond to any eviction processes in court.
Are there any sort of tips that you can give somebody who is thinking of actually buying a property that perhaps has illegal occupation?
Yes, well, I suppose when buying a property that has illegal occupation, if they are aware of it beforehand, I think they must simply consider the financial issues and constraints and difficulties in trying to evict those occupiers and what their intention is for the property. But for anybody that intends on purchasing property, it's important to do a due diligence on the property beforehand and ensure that you are aware whether or not there are unlawful occupiers on the property, and then to also ensure that the sales agreement in terms of the property incorporates terms that deal with issues relating to eviction of the unlawful occupiers that could assist them in dealing with the seller if they are not able to evict those unlawful occupiers before the transfer of the property takes place.
Thank you for that great insight, Savannah. Now, Alistair, what's been going on the property scene over the last week that we should know about?
So obviously, it's the end of the results season, if you will, for listed funds. You know, I mean, HighProp owns Hyde Park Corner, Rosebank Mall, Clearwater Mall, Canal Walk, and they've seen, you know, like positive kind of reversions. I think it was 5.8% up on their rental reversions. They also got assets in Eastern Europe. They've got interests in shopping centers there. So it just seems like there's a bit of confidence, I think, in the sector now. People are starting to shop again. Obviously, interest rates, they were always going to come down, and it's just happened. But it seems like this GNU, and maybe because the weather's got better, property funds are just doing a little bit better. Like the LTVs are, you know, they're loan to value. So that's how much of their assets relative to debt has gone down a bit. So we're seeing pretty good performances. It seems like South Africans are spending money a bit more. We've got this, obviously, this two-pot system with retirement, where some people are going to take retirement, you know, like early retirement, withdraw money and spend. Yeah, so that's kind of where we're sitting with the sector at the moment. So it's positives. And I guess we're just heading. In places like Cape Town, we're about to get into our festive season already. So, yeah, that's kind of where we are, sector.
Does it ever end, Alistair? You know, a Gautenger sort of having a little bit of a dig here. But, Alistair, has the work from home sort of trend still having an impact on the commercial property sector?
I mean, I think it's a permanent thing now. So I don't think it's a trend. I think people need to accept that work from home is permanent, but it wasn't kind of affected overnight. people want to, kind of adjust how they work, right? If you work for yourself, you know, you work from home. If you're like a single parent and you want to have some time at home, it's a thing that's been coming for years, and I think companies are now adjusting to it. So I think it's very common for landlords to realize that, you know, so they got a big tenant, like even a bank, that's, you know, that some people will take 2 days at home and 3 days at work. So yeah, does it affect offices? It probably does permanently. Office vacancies are still like a bit of a sticky point in South Africa, but people are trying to adapt. So I think the other results you get is that landlords will now take offices and try to make it more attractive to be in that office, to try to get people not to work from home, right? So it's a bit of a game that they're playing, but it's very much become more of a tenant's market than a buyer's market.
Are you seeing the trend that we're seeing overseas into sort of mixed retail property, where, you know, you have residential mixed with shopping, mixed with offices? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think going forward, any developments is probably quite mixed use. Be it shopping centres with a bit of, so you'll get an office with a bit of shopping retail on the bottom floor, which is like very common in places like London, New York City. It's finally coming to South Africa. I think we've been spoiled for space in our country, but people are now kind of, yeah, they're definitely developing things that have different uses, because then you can fill the space. I mean, you get this shared workspace concept, you're getting logistics and storage, people like parking where people can sort cars. Yeah, so it's definitely, I mean, it might not be as fast as overseas, but it's something that's there. I mean, I think any development really coming up now has probably got a bit of everything in it.
And in the sort of retail environment specifically, obviously, you know, sort of we're now sort of a good 4 years down from the pandemic. When these commercial properties renew their rentals, you know, often what, 5 years, sometimes 10 years, are you seeing any changes happening at that sort of level in terms of occupancy of retail?
I think it's rising. So, you know, as I said earlier, we've seen pretty good results from funds like HighProp, which is and Vukile, which are both shopping center focused. We Attack owns Mall of Africa. They had pretty good results recently. Even Growthpoint, you know, which has exposure to different shopping centers. Liberty 2 Degrees, which has exposure to Sandton City. So I think there's definitely an occupancy increasing in retail, but it's the kind of tenant that you're bringing in. So sometimes it'll be like a medical suite, for example, as opposed to another clothing retailer. And even, I mean, I spoke to Monet Wilkin recently. So she's the CEO of HighProp, about New Metro, you know, which is one of their big tenants. And he said that movies, they took a bit of a slump, but the kind of quality of movies has gone up again. People are going back to films. They've revamped their cinemas. So yeah, there's definitely an improvement in occupancy in retail, and just in general. I mean, I suppose the other one is hotels, right? So if you look at Cape Town, there's not enough hotels in Cape Town. It's like a clear shortage. So you'll probably see mixed use developments come up. We won't be the fanciest hotel ever, but it'll have a hotel aspect, so people can stay in a, you know, in a Cape area and shop there.
That's really interesting. Thank you so much for your input, Alistair.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.